Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will get to a trash of the day today. We are going to Thailand for the trash of the day today.
Interesting.
Where is that on your list of like if I gave you unlimited funds, you could go to 20 places in the world. That doesn't make the top 20. No chance.
I don't think so.
Probably
no.
Not.
No chance.
It's not like, not that I'm disinterested in ever traveling.
It's
I'd like to travel
list.
Lots of places.
Way down the list, though, for me. I think a place is
interesting.
I want to go.
I don't know if it's way down the list for me.
Well, if it's not in the top 20, it's way down the list.
There's a lot of countries.
Yeah. I could name a lot of destinations before I would get to Thailand, I think. I would eventually get on there on that list, but.
Like, you know, there's a lot of countries below Thailand.
Of course.
I'll say.
I looked
of course.
Up the most popular
not trying to
place
get a cutter.
In Thailand, and some of these destinations look very nice.
Yeah.
I will say.
Yeah, they look cool.
Yeah.
And for somebody who likes the beach as much as you do, I can't believe Thailand's as far down your list.
There's lots of places. Okay, the only problem with that sentence is I'm surprised you don't like because of beaches. There's thousands of beaches I can go to.
Yeah, I know.
You have to like Thailand's one of only five countries
I
go
saying,
on a beach.
It also has like places that you can sit on a warm beach and have a cocktail.
Sure. That's I'm going to be honest. The fact that I just looked up this list, Thailand actually might enter the top 20 in terms of places I would go.
Okay, so we'll get to this during trash of the day. We'll get to this during trash of the day. Yeah.
Someone says, what's the capital of Thailand?
I don't know. Drew, do you know?
Is it Phuket?
No, Drew?
I couldn't tell you.
Yes, you know.
You were just looking.
You know the capital?
No, I looked up places.
Like the capital, Drew. You know the capital. You know, just say it.
I have no idea.
Just say it. Bangkok. You didn't want to say it.
I didn't know that that was in Thailand.
Anyway.
What a dumb conversation all of a sudden is about to turn into.
Wasn't planned.
Let's move
that's
on.
Why, that's,
let's move on.
That's why we're setting it aside for a minute.
Uh-huh.
Let's, with Xavier Worthy potentially coming back this week, and I don't know that he'll come back this week. I thought he'd come back last week, and they ended up calling him out by Saturday. So I'm not overly optimistic until I see my first practice report Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And if he says full participant, I'll assume he's available for Sunday. If he continues to be a limited participant, I think we have to wait. I'll ask a simple question to 913-586-7965. Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. You can answer it on the live streams as well. Do they need Xavier Worthy back to beat the Ravens? Because my answer is yes, they do. I'm not saying it's a 0%. Don't get me like locked into like, well, 100% chance they lose without Xavier Worthy. But if I'm asking, do they need him to win? Yes. They do. There's a significant swing in what they're able to do offensively, and more importantly, the way they're able to take advantage of a bad Ravens defense if Xavier Worthy is back. I am not going to predict them to win if Xavier Worthy is not playing the Chiefs. I will be predicting the Ravens to win if Xavier Worthy is ineligible to play or just not available to play come Sunday.
Yeah, so I think... Hopefully, part of the thought process, along with protecting Worthy by not playing him this past week, was, hey, the benefit you might get heading into a game like this against Baltimore, which is, hey, there's only three plays in 2025 that anybody has seen Xavier Worthy on the football field. Yes, they have last year's film, but any new wrinkle you have, anything like that, there's no film on what Xavier Worthy's role is in 2025. You haven't had any... plays drawn up for him. You haven't had any specific formations that feature him. And so I think there is somewhat of a competitive advantage going into a game like that. So I agree. It gives them a better chance to win this football game. Absolutely. We will hear from Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes coming up at 11:45, so maybe we get some more insight from Andy. It sounded like Nate Taylor yesterday did not think that he mentioned him being limited. I don't know if he has to be a full go to like to make it where that's the only way he can play.
No,
like,
I'm just saying won't be sure he's playing until they put FP next to him in a practice before Friday, or they just tell me he's playing. If he's just a limited participant, I feel like there's a chance they're going to pull the rug out again.
Their odds of winning, to me, of course, go up if Worthy's on the football field. But I don't think, if we think this is a game where you have a Ravens defense that has struggled, a Chiefs offense that has struggled, but a Chiefs defense that has been very, very good the last eight quarters in particular, and they have had a history with Spags having a nice game plan around Lamar Jackson. They really have.
Yeah, the Ravens in general.
Doesn't mean that Lamar can't still make a great play, but they've had a nice plan, especially adjustments in game against Baltimore in big time matchups, then, you know, Worthy is more than useful if you think they need to get to 30 to win. If you think that it's, hey, first to 24 wins, okay, does that mean the Worthy is 100% necessity? I don't necessarily know if that's the case. You know, it depends. If you think the Chiefs have to score 28 to win this game Sunday, well then, yeah, Worthy has to be in this game.
Look, I do think that they're going to have to get into the mid-20s. Like, at bare minimum, I think the bar to win against the Ravens is 24. Like, I think that that is the lowest number you can score and win. I think it'll likely land between 24 and 27 for them to do it. But, yeah, they are going to have to score some points. Mm-hmm. I just think, like, the way I look at it is the way we kind of talked about it on Monday, which is, do I think the Chiefs are equipped to take advantage of an absolutely garbage defense from the Ravens so far this year without Worthy? I don't know. The teams lighting them up have some weapons, have an advantage. That's the whole thing. People are like, well, maybe the Ravens' defense isn't as bad. It's the Bills and the Lions taking advantage of them. Well, they have guys like Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs. They, you know, and like likely to the Bills, they have Cook and all these other guys who can take some advantage of those spots. I think Worthy's an important, I don't think you can just attack the Ravens with Thornton all day. And to, I think the text line's point a little bit, maybe this is a conversation we have later in the year, because again, I'd like to see him as the full version of their offense and the way they look. Hollywood Brown has looked like a possession receiver. He looks like younger Juju is what the text line said, which is actually not a total off. Like, that's not an off comment. That's pretty close to how he has cooked. Gold, you're right. He has not looked explosive. So can just Thornton be the only explosive player for the team and against the Ravens offense?
Yeah, I mean, Worthy and Thornton are going to be the only downfield threats for them, but that's two more than they had last year.
No, but Worthy, that's why really I'm asking, do they need Worthy for this game?
Yeah. No, I mean, I clearly they have a much better chance of winning. I expect him to play. I know we were all expecting him to play, in fairness, last week against the Giants, but it's another week removed, and I don't know if we would ever get the answer, and I'm not saying that they would, you know, you'd have an offense that you can't set someone out even against the Giants because you think you can get by with it, but now, to me, you reap the benefit of that. You set him because you want to be safe, but also you want to make sure he's good to go for a huge game against the Baltimore Ravens, and I think there's a competitive advantage of not having him really play at all in 2025 going into this game on Sunday. Like, Baltimore does not have any film of whatever the game plan that got thrown out the window against the Chargers in week one, that game plan featuring Worthy. Nobody's seen any element of that yet this year.
So we can talk about the Royals here in just a minute, but like, yes. I said that comment about Hollywood Brown looking not explosive was fair.
Yes.
913.
Oh boy. Where are we at?
Are we from the 913?
Oh, they gotta be joking. They're joking.
Are we sure Amon-Ra is better than Tyquan Thornton?
That person's just trolling.
Are you sure?
Yes, they're not serious. Stop.
That's ridiculous.
Amon-Ra St. Brown is the top 10, top 12 wide receiver in football.
He might be better than that.
Yeah. Amon-Ra is awesome.
I need to know whether you're joking.
Maybe I'm not even giving him enough credit. But
because if that's a serious comment.
It's a troll text. Come on.
If that's a serious comment.
Come on.
I don't know where to go from there.
If Xavier Worthy doesn't play on Sunday, then what exactly are we doing? Because I think it
because
like they're stashing him, hoping that they can like put all three together on the field.
I mean,
like,
yeah, but from what we've been told, though, it seems like Xavier Worthy's shoulder is as good as it's going to get right now. It's not going to get any better. So why is he not? Why would he not play in this game? I think that's because I understand you don't want to risk him getting hurt again, and then you actually don't see the three of them together, but. If it's not going to get any better, he needs to be on the field, you know, just given the situation.
I could hear the argument for let's not risk it against the Giants. We can beat the Giants without Xavier Worthy. But to the whole point of this conversation, that's a really tough argument against the Ravens.
Someone said, yes, Cody, I'm trolling. Yeah, there was no way that was a serious text.
People send all kinds of insane things.
But that was clearly a troll.
Clearly?
Yes.
I had people nobody talking about actually, how they should cut wide receivers to put Justin Ross in, and they were serious.
Yeah, nobody actually thinks Amon-Ra St. Brown is worse than Tyquan Thorne. By the way, Tyquan Thorne will speak also, so we'll hear from Patrick Mahomes, Tyquan Thorne, and Andy Reid starting around 11:45 here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. But I'm just banking on the strategy side of things with now the advantage you have by Worthy playing on Sunday, on not just his skill set, but the fact that it's new in 2025, if you will. Yeah. That's all.
Yesterday, I had given you what it would take for the Royals to make the postseason. They were going to have to go 6-0.
Oh, yeah?
The Guardians were going to have to go 5-1. Good start for them on that end. And then a couple of other teams were going to have to go winless in order for this to happen. It did not happen. It immediately ended last night.
Officially eliminated.
The Royals were officially eliminated from the postseason. So this is a good time to have the Royals debrief on how we'll view it. I'm going to put it in a couple of quick terms, and then I'm curious where you are, Gold. I am not unimpressed by their ability to claw, scratch, fight, whatever the hell it's been, to have been missing the entire starting rotation at some point this year, and to overcome what was an absolutely abysmal offensive performance for the entire first half of the season. Overcoming that and waiting until September 23rd to be eliminated, I'll give them some credit for. I will judge this season based on what they do next year. And you're going to say, well, how does that make any sense? This season won't feel bad to me. I will hold my stance of not bad, all things considered, and where you were and all the things you had to fight through. Now, the offensive stuff is your own doing, so I don't really give you credit for that as much as overcoming the offensive injuries. If next year's a playoff year and this was just a step back because injuries gotcha and you couldn't overcome it and whatever, and next year is back to we're competing for the AL Central, you're an actual fundamental team, and you're a playoff team, I'll let this year go. If this is just the season before you do this again, well, then you're heading in the wrong direction and we have problems. Like, in a weird way, I don't feel like I want to give my official report card on this season and how I feel about it until you tell me what next year's Royals team does. Because I could take this as back-to-back winning seasons. You stay competitive till the 23rd, I'll take it. But only if it's, like, leading to something for me.
Right. I mean, look, I'm excited for the future of the team. I think they have positioned themselves nicely if they're willing to trade some pitchers to go and help fix this outfield problem. I think Carter Jensen has shown some signs that he can be maybe special next year for them. I still have faith that Jack Caglione at some point will turn into at least close to the player that everybody was hoping would be. I think it's still too early to act like we just know what he is. It has obviously been very, very disappointing. There's no doubt. I think all obviously had a very high bar and he hasn't come close to it. That's just the reality. I will say this, and you're right, the injuries, while they were so healthy a year ago, it came back in a strong way, and the regression of the mean and some.
I mean, look at Reagan's last night. Not tell me that if he pitched the entire year for this team, they're not three or four or five games better.
I am with you on the injury front, and it could have ended up being a lot worse. But you said about the offense. That was a self-inflicted wound, as far as I'm concerned, with the offensive issues. You know my feelings about Alex Zumwalt. I still think they should move on from him in the offseason. I think it's time for a change of the hitting coach, and maybe all three of them. I don't know, right? But that's something I would do. I will say what always does annoy me, you and I have gone back and forth on this for years, I think, since we've done the show. What happens with the Royals, they have the slow start, April and May, or June in this case as well, early June, and then they got hot and played some better baseball. And then we get to September, and we come to the realization, obviously, the season, you know, in this case, they're eliminated. And then we try to go back and be like, well, actually, but this and that. And, like, you know, it really wasn't that bad of a season. Like, no, we had expectations for them to make the playoffs.
They came up short of their expectations.
Yeah, like, we had expectations for them to make the playoffs. Hell, to compete to win the division. And it's even more frustrating now seeing the Tigers fall apart and the Guardians to see them collapse and come back, that knowing it wasn't going to take 94 wins to win this division. Like we all thought it was trending in that direction, but it's not going to. I don't know what the final record. Yeah. Maybe 90 gets
they're both
it done
like
now.
84, 85 wins.
Yeah. So maybe 88 to 90 is going to win the division after all this. I'm just saying that, you know, this is still a ball club that had real expectations. They failed to meet them. I mean, you can be excited about the future, but also we don't need to use, you know, basically kid gloves on the organization and be like, well, shucks, you know, it was just a tough year for them. They tried so hard and almost still did it. That's a Major League Baseball team. Like, there is a real expectation. They failed to meet those. Both things can be true.
Yeah, but I also, like, I'm not treating it as the, like, oh, shucks, the way we might have said about a team in 2006.
Yeah.
Or the different versions of teams where it's easier to be that way. I'm not denying the fact they should have been a playoff team and they weren't. But I'm also just like, for this year's team, I'm viewing it a lot like how we're talking about the Chiefs through 1 and 2. I know why they came up short. One is their own self-inflicted wound. They stunk on offense, and their offseason plan on offense stunk. And as a result of that, they came up short. Then I got to watch Cole Reagans, and I'm like, damn, they got absolutely beat to death in the pitching injury department, and they did not overcome it, and they're not in a position as an organization to overcome it. And yes, some of it, it's not even kid gloves. Some of it is, I do have, like we talk about this with expectations for the Chiefs. The reason why we killed them worse for 1 and 2 is the Royals still for 98% of my life have been a laughing stock. So I will, and this is not meant to like kiddie glove it, I'll take an above 500 season 2 years in a row just as long as it's building towards something, right?
Yep.
I won't take it forever. Gold, we talked about this like you're the Steelers. If you're the Panthers, you'll take 2 9-8 seasons in a row because maybe you're heading somewhere. Maybe the Royals are heading somewhere. They were a playoff team, and then maybe they'll finish above 500. Maybe that means something, like they are a functional organization. I won't take it for a decade, but I'll take it this year as in,
right, but fine, you said it, but you said
be,
it there.
Be something, be relevant, be competitive. I'll take in the early part of where the Royals are, which is what they are. They're in the early part of relevancy. Yeah,
we use the Steelers example early in the year when people were, you know, complaining that, hey, they're going to make the playoffs, but they're not going to do anything.
Oh, I know.
That's when I use
they're
that.
Come up short.
That's when I use that. Like, we haven't seen the success enough in this city on the baseball front to say, oh, well, they're going to make the playoffs and they're going to lose anyway. What's the point? That's where I got irritated by it, because that, to me, that's crazy. I don't think it's the same thing as what I'm saying here. They didn't make the playoffs. So, no, I'm not good at, it's not good enough to just say, hey, they missed the playoffs because they haven't
even
come
close. No, they
came
up short. This season wasn't good enough. I'm not saying
that. I disagree with the notion that, like, hey, making the playoffs and losing early, like, who cares? To me, that's a crazy sentiment to be upset if they make the playoffs and then lose it. What I don't think is crazy to say it's not good enough to just be, like, close and, wow, we made it to September 20th and they weren't 23rd and they weren't eliminated. Yay! Like, I'm done with that crap. I'm done with that. That's not what this organization should be, given the talent that they have on the roster right now. And frankly, where the expectation is, you follow up a playoff appearance with a disappointing season. That is still what happened here.
Oh, yeah.
And it happens in baseball all the time. I'm not saying they're unique, but I don't think I get annoyed.
I also just think there's
this.
Different constraints in baseball that people are willing to. And I'm not going to ignore. The Royals had to spend 4 times less than the Mets, 4 times less. Like, that doesn't exist in other sports.
I understand.
Think that's why baseball is given a middle. And again, I'm not saying the Royals had a disappointing year. They did not live up to expectations. I said it'd be a disappointing year if they didn't make the playoffs. They didn't.
I'm not saying I expect them to go to the playoffs 4 straight years. Not with the dynamics of,
that's why
of baseball.
You, next year, you know, changes a little bit. If they go to the playoffs again next year, then they are still doing the things organizationally that I am okay with. What's going to piss me off at the end of this, and what's going to really suck, is they're going to finish with 82 wins. And the division winner is going to finish with 87. And in 162 games, 5 wins is going to be what kept you from winning the division or going to the playoffs. 5 wins that you gave away in April and May.
Sure, but every team can play that game.
No, you know I'm not. I mean? This is not an excuse. I'm saying that's going to piss me off.
Yeah,
I'm going to be annoyed that you were a bad baseball team for the first 2.5 months of the season. I'm not saying, like, I'm just saying, like, that's what sucks about it is you gave it away. It wasn't like the injuries held you, like they did hold you back and all that other stuff. But I'm going to be most mad because you gave it away by just playing miserable offensive baseball for the first 85 games of the season. And if you had just found a way,
they're going to finish as an average
team. To be
team.
A mediocre offensive team, you probably get those 5 wins and you're a playoff team. Not as in like, and yeah, like the going into next year, I do still think they have a lot of talent and they should be a playoff team. And my expectations will be very similar. Next year's Royals team. Should be competing for the division and be in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Like, there's no mystery.
That should be the standard next year.
It sounds like if you had a title for the way you feel, Cody, it's disappointing but not discouraging.
Yeah.
Is the way that you would.
I'm not just sunk on it, I guess, if that makes sense. But it's also like, I'm not trying to. I'm not saying other people aren't. I'm trying to pacify their season.
All right, let's go to Thailand. We were briefly touching on that earlier.
That's right.
A Dutchman was arrested in Thailand for stealing an entire ATM, Cody. This is something you have experience in.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was working at UMB, somebody backed up a truck, loaded the whole thing up, and stole it. When we said, did you get video of them? They said the only camera on the backside of the building was in the ATM, as in like hard camera footage inside the ATM.
So the 60-year-old man was arrested in Thailand for stealing an entire ATM by chaining it to his pickup truck and dragging it through the streets. The incident happened early Sunday morning when he
had a
chain hoist to pull the commercial bank ATM from its mounting and towed it about 20 meters before being caught.
That's it? Yeah. He only got 20 meters?
Yeah. He lived in Thailand for 6 years, invested $10 million, which is about $267,000, with his 37-year-old Thai wife in a restaurant business that failed. Financial stress, mounting debts led to arguments with his wife, and after a dispute Saturday night, he told her he was visiting friends, but instead went and attempted to steal an ATM. That's quite the turn of events.
I'll just tell you right now, there's not $267,000 in an ATM.
He faces charges for, this is interesting in Thailand. So there's theft, but they call it specifically for nighttime theft. They charge you, you get charged for a more serious crime if it's at night. I don't know. Property damage and using a vehicle in a crime.
Nighttime theft.
It's what it says, nighttime theft. Potentially facing up to 10 and a half years in prison. He didn't think this one through. All right, I'm going to chain the ATM. I'm going to get it out of its brackets. Nobody's going to notice anything. I'm just going to have it chained behind my pickup truck for miles or meters in this case. And then I'm going to still have to figure out how to open up the ATM.
If people wanted the conversion rate of meters to, like, let's say feet, familiar feet, 65 feet. That man only made it 65 feet. He might go to jail for 20 years. You got to get more than 60
feet. Years.
Most ATMs in the United States hold between $10,000 and $20,000 in cash. According to most recent, some casinos can hold up to 50 to 200 or even
We were doing our show and they were filling the ATM next to us.
Yeah.
We were out of the
Hollywood.
And it
definitely had more than $10,000 to $20,000 in it. It had more in that like $200,000 range in it.
Well, I don't know about
that. But even that. Well, they said ATMs and casinos can hold 50 to 200,000.
I don't know if the one next to us had $200,000 in it.
$200,000 is less, you think.
It might have had 20. It might have had 20 to 30.
I'm just saying, if you're going to go through this trouble and plan all this, you got to get more than 65 feet. Your plan better be better than that I get 65 feet away. That's not even out of the parking lot.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't even get, that's not even that far. As far as I know.
He told his wife that he was going to hang out with some friends. Meanwhile,
his friend is not money, based on the story.
In fairness, I only worked at the bank that had the ATM stolen like that for 6 months, and it happened in the first months I was there. In the time I worked there, they never found the person who stole our ATM. Don't know if that person ever got caught, but they did not find them in the time in which I worked at the
person
bank.
Person still trying to figure out how to open the ATM.
I don't know. Like, it was, and I just still can't believe that at the time that the only camera they had in the entire bank of the drive-through part, I'm sure they've installed some since, that the only camera they had was a hard server camera inside the ATM as well.
So they didn't have any video of the truck?
Zero video. They don't have any idea.
That would never fly in the year 2025. There's no way there would not be video of this truck.
No, this was many, many, many years ago.
That is the trash
today. They had no video evidence of the person stealing it at the time.
Up next, a guest this morning on Fesco and Dusty had some interesting words to say about the Chiefs dynasty. Then we're going to hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Tyquan Thornton. Coming up next here on Cody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Gold.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
We're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Tyquan Thornton here in about 10 to 12 minutes right here on 96.5 The Fan. But earlier today, the morning show had Gary Myers on. He's a longtime NFL writer. He's got a new book out. And he's talking about the Patriots dynasty in the book. And talks about Belichick and Brady and obviously who should get more credit and all of that. And so Bob and Dusty had Gary on the show today, and I'll be honest, I was just going through the computer, and it shows, you know, audio from every show, and you can kind of see, and everybody can see if there was any audio cuts.
Anybody talking about something interesting?
Yeah. And so I saw there was a cut from Gary Myers, and it said, Chiefs are a short-term dynasty. And I was like, well, I got to click on this. I got to hear this. This is what he said to Bob and Dusty this morning.
A dynasty? A dynasty, I think, is what happened in New England over a 20-year period.
Well, that's not sustainable in any sport for 20 years. I mean, that's an anomaly more than a dynasty, I would think, Gary.
Well, you're probably right. And, you know, I guess if we're looking to establish, you know, dynasties, and what the Chiefs have done, getting to 5 and winning 3 over, say, an 8 or 9 year period, I mean, I guess you consider that a dynasty of sorts, but more of a short-term dynasty.
now we're classifying.
He also called the Cowboys a dynasty in that same interview, by the way, because they won.
It makes no sense. 3 out of 4. Now we're saying, well, maybe. Well, okay, fine. Short-term dynasty. What?
Are we nuts? This is one of
just because for 20 years, even though the Patriots also had a 10-year gap, but just because, so he mentions 20-year dynasty, it's really 2, but whatever. Even if you want to say it was a 20-year dynasty, fine. It doesn't mean a run that the Chiefs are on has not been that's a short-term dynasty. Now we're adding new qualifiers. This is, you want to talk about East Coast by, and he is from the East Coast, by the way. No, he's not, he doesn't cover the Patriots on a regular basis. He actually is based in New York, I think. But this is such a make a case why the East Coast dynasty is better than a Midwest team or a West Coast team or something like that. This was crazy to me. Short-term dynasty.
This is genuinely delusional. One, he's saying 9 years. That's not where the dynasty starts. It starts in, let's just, for Gary's argument, let's say the dynasty starts the year Patrick Mahomes became a starter for the Chiefs. So, like, we're not starting when they won a Super Bowl. We're starting them when Patrick Mahomes was the MVP of the league. 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. He's a starter, 2018. So then they're 7 years into their dynasty. In those 7 years, they have attended 5 Super Bowls and won 3. So if we get 20, like Gary says the Patriots got, it's not like the previous 13 years. I don't have to count the Todd Haley part as the Chiefs dynasty, and that's somehow dinging their ability, their dynasty anyway. In that case, they've got 13 more years. The Patriots attended 9 Super Bowls during that time, winning 6 of them. So the Chiefs still have 13 more years to attend 4 more Super Bowls and win 3. Okay, well, I guess I'll take the chance, Gare, that maybe they find a way to do it. It's a little bit insane to me. That is one of the worst takes I've heard from any person. And the Patriots are largely considered 2 dynasties, not 1.
Yeah,
they're not even considered 1 dynasty by most people.
From the 816, educate yourself on dynasties. They last a long time, David and KC.
Which ones? Give me any other football dynasty besides. So the Patriots are the only dynasty in the NFL? That's it?
This idea that you have to be going for 15 years to like 8 Super Bowls in 15 years. One, that doesn't happen other than the Patriots. They didn't even do it in 15 years. It took them 20. This idea, now we're acting like they don't exist in a current dynasty. I would firmly disagree. They last for a long time. I mean, we can go, if we want to play the game of going and looking up every single sport and some of these dynasties, there are some that are longer. There's no question there's some that are also the Chiefs dynasty run. It's not, if by that logic, it's not over yet, though, either.
It's also comp by sports is really unfair. Like, the Bulls dynasty only really ran like 90 to 98. They're not, you're telling me by this argument, the Bulls are not a dynasty, or barely.
The Edmonton Oilers, now they won 5 in fair. They didn't just go, they won 5 in 7 years. But my point is, that wasn't a 15-year run. So where the Oilers were a short-term dynasty, too, because it was only a 7-year run. That's a short-term, no, it was a dynasty.
The Bulls won 6, but they only did it in 8 years, so only, doesn't count? Or because they won more championships? Well, then the Patriots don't count, because it took them 20 years to win the amount that they won. The dynasties are not as long as you think. I'll just be honest with you. Maybe the Minneapolis Lakers in the 50s or whatever. Maybe
there's some that are long. I'm not saying that there aren't some that extended longer also, but the
like
thing 10 is,
years,
but if that's the case,
30.
Then if that's the case, then what if the Chiefs go to 2 Super Bowls over the next 6 years, well then their dynasty just got extended because we're not cutting off the one from before based on the same logic. I just thought it was a bad take. I don't think
you can't put terms on a dynasty. A dynasty is a dynasty. It doesn't matter whether it's short. If there's
you
a consistent period of time that's dominant and there's no, and everything runs through them, then it's a dynasty.
And they have
it
a
doesn't
bunch
matter
of
whether it's 5 years or whether it's 10 years.
And a bunch of championships in the NFL is three. That's a ton of championships in the NFL. The Cowboys haven't even made an NFC title game since they finished their dynasty. They're not easy to come by.
A dynasty of sorts, but more of a short-term dynasty.
Just
adding
qualifiers
just
to dynasties
I gotta be honest,
now.
Like between that and Tom Brady's stance today on how he doesn't have a conflict, done with the East Coast for today. Like that's it for me. Tom Brady sent out the most self-righteous bunch of BS in an ESPN article talking about how he doesn't have a dynasty, thinks he doesn't even believe today that I can't do it. Tom Brady called us paranoid and distrustful to believe that there's a conflict of interest. Here's a quote today from his article. And with all the successes football has given me, I feel I have a moral and ethical duty to the sport, which is why I point where my roles and the intersect is not an actual point of conflict, despite what the paranoid and distrustful might believe. Rather, it is my place from which my ethical duty emerges to grow, evolve, and improve the game.
What, is he given
that has given me some sort of address?
What? Just,
can we just have like a sound effect where he's playing like a large fart noise after nonsense like this or what Gary said? He doesn't even believe the things he's writing there. Get out of here, Tom.
Yeah, I've told you I'm the whole Tom Brady. It's the most over discussed thing in the last 3 weeks.
I'm just saying this is self-righteous.
Yeah,
is it a conflict?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't know why he felt the need to put out a newsletter, you said, or something?
I can't believe he didn't say.
He does a weekly newsletter?
Claims he does. I don't know. Schefter was sending it out on behalf of
him. I'm sure
today.
He does, if that's what it was.
I'm sure later it says, besmirch my character, or whatever nonsense words he was tossing in or making seem. He does not have ethical duty. He doesn't even believe that he has an ethical duty to football. I don't actually think he believes that.
Are we sure that he actually said these things?
Because
saying ethical the way that you read it sounded like he was giving some sort of address, you know, like he was giving a speech. I want to know, is this fart noise good enough for you, Cody?
Yeah, that's
it's a little how should I say?
So what?
Yeah.
Sure, that's fine. Anytime Gary says stuff like,
"Is that the one we want to use?" Is that really the? What was it? One more time, Drew. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm open.
All right, up next.
Well, we got a vote on fart noises on this show.
913-586-7965. Is that the official fart sound of Cody and Gold? I guess. Up next, we're going to hear from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Tyquan Thornton. You're on 96.5 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.